141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the night, Celtic could wrap up the Scottish Premiership title. A point at Kilmarnock is all Brendan Rodgers' side need to clinch the league. It could have been won last night, but Rangers fought back from 2-0 down to beat Dundee 5-2 and keep it going for now. And there are huge games everywhere you look. St Johnstone, Ross County, as they look to avoid the relegation playoffs. Party time ahead of a European trip for St Mirren against Hearts. Aberdeen, Livy and Motherwell go to Easter Road as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've Jim Duffy and Marvin Bartley. This is it. How many nights you sat in here arguing, debating, speculating about who would win the league, and we're a bit closer to finding out tonight could be the night.
Yeah, I mean, last night Rangers done what they had to do, which was get the result. It was a nervy match. I watched the match. Dundee started the game very well. Rangers just looked very flat, which is probably a bit understandable after the weekend result. But Philip Clement himself has said that he got in about them at the half time, managed to get in the second half and win the match, and obviously reduce the goal deficit as well a little bit. So Celtic have still got a job to do tonight, there's no question about that. Going to a team with the record that Kilmarnock have down there, notoriously difficult place to go. Already beaten Celtic twice, I think, this year down there. So, yeah, this is no gimme, Gordon. Celtic have to turn up and make sure they're at the top of their game and get this league title wrapped up.
I would have loved for Clement to actually came out in his post-match press conference and said, "I've got in about them, Jim." That'd have been that'd have been quite something. But no, listen, he got a reaction out of his players that he needed in the second half. Should he have needed it? Probably not. But as you said, you know, everything's about Celtic today, and I think they'd have wanted to do it themselves. You know, as much as they'd have probably enjoyed Rangers being 2-0 down, as players, you want to go out there and you want to, you know, win that league on your own merit, and I think they'll get that done tonight.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Nights like this call for an extended Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I hope Jim Duffy and Marvin Bartley haven't forgotten that we're on until 10 o'clock tonight.
I'm not.
Just like we were last night. So let's see what you've got for us. Celtic fans, are you heading down to Rugby Park? Are you getting the feet up ready to watch it? Will tonight be the night that you are title winners? Let us know all your thoughts on that. Rangers fans, you eventually did your part last night. Philippe Clement was not happy with the first half, a much better second half. So give us all your thoughts on last night, the good bits, the bad bits, who stood out for you. I guess it was goodbye from Kamar Roof and Borna Barisic. How does it set you up for the cup final? We've got reporter at St Johnstone, Ross County, because that is huge for the relegation playoffs. We're going to go to St Mirren as well. Big games up and down the country tonight, but we need you to join in. 0141 951 1025. All your thoughts over to us right now, please. Particularly that game at Rugby Park and the one last night. Let's go to Ayrshire and check in with Andrew McLean, who's going to set the scene.
Yeah, well, it could all come down to this, couldn't it? What a season it's been. So many twists, so many turns, so many storylines, all kicked off by that unlikely return of Brendan Rodgers to Celtic last summer. He's had his up and downs so far this campaign, but tonight could be the chance for him to seal his third Premiership title as Celtic manager, his first since coming back up the road, and he'll be hoping the first of two trophies this season as well. All they need is a point. It sounds very simple, doesn't it? But as Jim alluded to there, you just need to look at their record here at Rugby Park against Kilmarnock this season to plant maybe just a seed of doubt. A 1-0 defeat in the League Cup back in August, and then a 2-1 defeat in December as well. So Derek McInnes' side, they've shown they've got what it takes to cause damage tonight and extend that title chase until the weekend. But Celtic have been in good form in recent weeks, haven't they? They look in form, they look firing, they look like a confident side at the moment, so you'll imagine they'll be fully motivated to make sure they get the job done tonight. Some of the Celtic players have just been out on the pitch, walking about, looking fairly relaxed ahead of this big game. They'll want to make sure that they get the job done tonight and that it doesn't extend over onto the weekend. And there will be a good feel-good factor at the home end as well, because, of course, Kilmarnock, fourth place, is secured. They'll have European football next season. Will they be motivated to make sure that they can stay unbeaten and win three games out of three against Celtic at Rugby Park this season? It is a 7:30 kickoff, so I think team news should come to us in the next 10 minutes or so.
Well, what are you thinking then, Celtic fans? Give us an insight into the mood the mentality tonight? Is it about nerves? Is it about excitement? Is it optimism? How certain are you that you get the point you need tonight? Is there an air of celebration already because you think it's pretty much over the line? Or does being a football fan in Scotland wear you down and you still sort of fear the worst until it's over that line? Let us know right now if you can, please, on 01419511025. All your thoughts ahead of that one and the title race. Rangers fans, how do you look back on last night and any of the other games as well? You know, you can tell it's a busy night when Willie Collum being named as the new head of referees doesn't even make it into my headlines at the top of the show. Jim Duffy, what's happening?
But the first time Willie's not made it into headlines this season, I think. But you know, obviously taking the game at the weekend and then announcing that he's going to be head of refereeing, I think it's a good appointment, I have to say that. I think Willie has been, you know, a terrific referee over the years. Of course, like every referee, he'll have his opinions, and fans will have various opinions on whether they think he's good, bad or indifferent. But nevertheless, I think, if you look right across the board, you know, there's a lot of stuff to be sorted out, particularly regarding the VAR and all these things. So I think Willie's experience will be invaluable going forward, and hopefully the standard of refereeing and the standard of the VAR refereeing will be vastly improved in the coming months with him at the helm.
Yeah, I'm sure you speak on behalf of everyone who'll welcome the news with open arms on 0141 951 1025. David is going to kick us off on the field tonight, though. David, this could be it. It could be the night the title is won. How do you feel about it?
It could be. It's exciting, guys. It's exciting, but, you know, I'm slightly worried as well. You know, the results against Kilmarnock this season haven't been great. Albeit, you know, it was a kind of Celtic's low ebb. You know, the games that we played against them, and we weren't really getting things together. The confidence is high now, and I think that, you know, I've always thought the difference between a good player and a mediocre player is confidence. You know, the guys have kind of gained that over the last few months, and I think they need to go into this as a must-win, not a, you know, just get something out. It needs to be a must-win attitude on the park tonight, and show what they're worth for us to get a result, because Kilmarnock will make it hard for us, you know.
Well, if Celtic were to handpick an away venue that they would rather avoid mm-hmm. to go and win a title, it probably would be this one, just based on previous visits. Marvin, having said that, it's not like it's the last game of the season and they do only need a point. How do you think that does play out tonight?
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. Firstly, I think, yeah, it's the second, you know, worst place they'd want to go. Obviously, Ibrox would be number one for them, but definitely because of the pitch and stuff at Kilmarnock, and as David said, you know, they've had difficult games there, but I think that will help with the focus. You know, I think the players will know that, you know, they've struggled there at times. If they're not right mentally going into this game, then they could struggle. Listen, I expect Celtic to win this game of football because, you know, they've got serial winners within that dressing room. They've got players who've been there and have done it before. They don't want it to go to a last game of the season. They don't want to draw this game, as David said. They want to go out and win this game of football. You know, their away end will be absolutely packed, and I expect Celtic to take care of business, as difficult as the pitch is.
Yeah, Jim, Brendan Rodgers spoke about wanting to sprint over that line. Mm-hmm. When you only need a point, managers never think about that, do they? They don't approach it in that
No,
manner.
It only comes into your train of thought in the latter stages of the game if the game's level. You know, if you get to 10 minutes to go and you're still level in the scoring, then, you know, just naturally then players will then just, you know, drop off the pace a little bit, protect what they've got, knowing that 1 point is enough. But it's not really in Celtic's DNA to play that way, Gordon. I don't think David would have to have a problem with that because, you know, Celtic always go for the win. As I mentioned, if a team gets them on the back foot eventually, like the second half at Ibrox a few weeks ago, then they can, obviously they've got to defend. But generally speaking, Celtic are always on the front foot, always take the game to the opposition, even down at Kilmarnock. I don't see that being any different. They will be going for the victory. I've got no doubt that that'll be the case whatsoever. And as Marvin said, and David mentioned there, confidence can't be any higher. I mean, they're mm-hmm. absolutely flying with confidence just now. So it's the best time for a Celtic team to get down to Kilmarnock. Saying that, Kilmarnock are very good. And it'll be a kind of poignant night as well, because it's the anniversary of the late Tommy Burns tonight, yep. who obviously was the manager of Kilmarnock and obviously Celtic. So, yeah, it would be a very fitting night in terms of a tribute to Tommy if Celtic could go over the line tonight.
Yeah, I mean, David, the chance to do it yourself, if you like, you know, Rangers might have handed that opportunity last night. Do you welcome the chance to do it, or would you have just much rather the pressure of being off and Rangers slipped up last night?
No, I think most of the players and most of you guys would agree. It's always better to have it in your own hands, isn't it, and do it yourself, because, you know, there's always that excuse there, isn't there? You know, oh, you didn't need to get it over the line. It was given to you. It was handed to you. Yeah, I would much rather that. But we've worked hard this year as a team to get our form back and to get back to where we are and to be, you know, a couple of days away from winning a league, because, you know, let's face it, 46 weeks ago, it could have been completely different, couldn't it? You know, so the guys have worked really hard to get there. So, yeah, I'm glad it's in your hands, and I wasn't aware it was Tommy Burns' anniversary today. That'll be a huge motivation in the dressing room, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Marvin, I wonder if, you know, Kilmarnock deserve immense credit, obviously, mm-hmm. for beating Celtic in that last league game in December. And this is not designed to take anything away from that, but I wonder how much better a place Celtic are in now as they arrive. I actually had forgotten quite the extent of it. I've just double checked the Celtic team from that day. Nat Phillips played. I think you'll remember how he played.
Yeah.
Also, Mikey Johnson and O were two of the attackers mm-hmm. that played. Iwata was in midfield, which is not, you know, that could happen again sort of thing. Lewis Palmer played, but, you know, Nat Phillips, Mikey Johnson, O. So, you know, no Hitati, no Kyogo from the start, no Carter Vickers. Are Celtic just in a much better place now?
Yeah, definitely. Not only that, in terms of results, but like you said, in terms of fitness, you know, and the massive players being back for them. I think we saw how important Callum McGregor was as well, you know, playing against Rangers. So it's so important they've got their leader out there helping them as well. But like you said, people like Carter Vickers, Kyogo coming back into the team, it'd be a lot stronger team, no disrespect to the one that started against Kilmarnock in December. So that's why, you know, I don't expect Celtic to have any trouble at all in terms of winning this game. It'll be fantastic night of us, as
no
I've just
trouble
said.
At all.
No trouble at all. Wow. No trouble at all winning this game of football. And that's not disrespectful to Kilmarnock either. I just can see Celtic really blowing them away, and I expect them to do so.
Again, Jim, sometimes you look at players coming back from injury and maybe they're not risked on the surface, and you talk about it being a long mm-hmm. season. I doubt we'll see too much of that, will we, at this stage?
No. I mean, they put their strongest team out on the pitch tonight to go and get the job done. But a few weeks ago, Gordon, when Dundee had qualified for the top six, I thought that they might have just have come off the pace a little bit, take last night's result away. But against Rangers, that next game, after that, they had been cancelled a few times, they played very well. They were actually really up for it. And the Kilmarnock situation, I think a lot of people think, well, Kilmarnock have already qualified for Europe now, so they'll have the sombreros mm-hmm. out and they'll be looking forward to the summer. I don't think Derek McInnes is the type of manager that just sends a team out just to turn up. And also, there's no pressure on them, so they can go and be a bit more relaxed. So I think they'll actually be more dangerous than they perhaps would have been if they need the result, because then there's no tension in the Kilmarnock team. They can go out there totally relaxed and give their best. So as I mentioned at the very start of the programme, I think this will be a real test for Celtic. But I'm with Marvin. I do think they've got the quality to come through it.
So you don't think Kilmarnock were celebrating European qualification on Sunday?
Oh, definitely.
Derek McInnes was aeroplaning around like... Yeah. An uncle at a wedding or something,
yeah.
wasn't he?
Peter Kay.
So you don't
sliding
think so?
On his knees.
You don't think they're on the beach already, as the phrase goes?
Listen, I think, as Jim said, as professionals, you go out there with the best intentions. But I think Celtic start quickly, rather. After 10 minutes, those players are thinking, listen, we've already qualified. Like,
get their passports out.
Yeah, exactly. You try to go through the motions, which is then dangerous.
Derek McInnes would love it, though, wouldn't it? Because you just always, you know, yeah, that's the main goal. But you just tick off these little things. You imagine... Mm-hmm. Three times at Rugby Park across two competitions, plus a point in Glasgow. That puts an extra gloss on a fourth place finish.
Yeah, but I think he's already cemented his quality as a manager this season. You know, I don't think that... Yeah, of course, it would be fantastic for Derek and for Kilmarnock if they could achieve something like that. But if you look at what he's done since he's went into Kilmarnock, not just this season, but last season as well, first job, consolidate, next job, build and improve... He's done that, you know, significantly. That's the reason why I think there's a lot of suggestions that, you know, the likes of Hibernian now look for a new manager. He would be at the top of the list, and you can understand why.
Let's thank David for his time. We're not far away from team news. Mo is in Cumbernauld. Mo, are you the type of Celtic fan that is brimming with confidence the league gets won tonight, or is it still the type of fixture that gives you a bit of doubt?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, and good evening to... Marvin, Jim and yourself, Gordon.
Thank you.
See, to be honest, with regards to today's game, there can't be any complacency. If you go to a place like Rugby Park, and you know yourself that we've struggled this season, as well as we do with them at home. So We cannot take anything for granted, and I don't think Brendan will. I think he's got the ethos of the club kind of sussed out at this kind of stage of the season, and kind of got us playing in a unified way where everyone kind of came together at the right time. So I think, yeah, my biggest fear is complacency, but I do think we'll get there. I'd love to do it tonight. If not, it'll be on Saturday against St Mirren. But who knows? If we turn up, if we play our game and play the way we're playing, I know Kilmarnock are quite aggressive in their play, and they've got some really good players. Big Fassell up front, he's always been a handful. So looking forward to a really, really good game. I think it's going to be quite competitive. I know Kilmarnock won't really have much to play for tonight, but again, you're playing against Celtic. I think it was up for line, so I'm no doubt they'll be up for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, there is one in particular that's jumping out at me, interesting piece of team news. So let's go to Andrew McLean. We spoke about Celtic being at full strength. Take it away, Andrew.
Yeah, that one change you're talking about is Kyogo dropping to the bench, and it's Adam Ida that comes in from the start for Celtic. So that's just the one change from that victory against Rangers. So the team in full, Joe Hart in goal, the back four. It's Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hitati on the wings. James Forrest and Dyson Maida with Adam Ida leading the line. The substitutes, Bain, Palmer, Kyogo, Kuhn, Navrotsky, Iwata, Bernardo, Ralston and Welsh.
Does Kyogo not starting do anything to your confidence, David?
Team Mo.
Oh, we're on to Mo. My apologies, Mo. I forgot we'd moved on. And do you know the worst of it is, I'll just be honest. Do you know what the real reason? Because my screen's not working properly and I can't quite see. So I was doing it off memory. Mo, my apologies. Does it do anything to your confidence that Kyogo doesn't start?
It's all good. It's only two layers, Gordon. So yeah.
Even for me.
No, in terms of Kyogo, I'm not surprised with Adam Ida starting. I didn't get a note of the Kelly team, but Their defenders are quite aggressive and quite strong. I think it's Lewis Mayo, who's had a really good season for them. So Adam Ida provides that bit of kind of physicality up front. So no change in confidence for tonight. I think Adam Ida, he's been a really good signing so far. He's kind of brought a different dimension to our attack. So yeah, we also have the option of bringing Kyogo on as a sub, and here in the bench is quite strong as well. So yeah, it's all looking quite positive.
Yeah, there is no Kilmarnock team yet, hence why we did the visitors first. So we will bring you that when we can. But that's a big piece of news, isn't it? Is that just a nod to the physicality of Kilmarnock? Is it an idea that then Kyogo's mobility maybe works as an impact in this fixture, or what do you read into that?
Yeah, I think there could be a couple of things. I think the first thing would be the physicality. I think set plays for Kilmarnock are quite a big part of their game. So having someone like Adam Ida who can go back and help defend them, I think makes a massive difference. I also think, you know, sometimes as players, when you go into these sorts of games, I've never won in the top flight, but I've won the championship, and it's almost like, oh, we're just going to get over the line. I think sometimes you need almost a little prod into the team, and you know, they might have thought, oh, it's just been the same team we beat Rangers last game, et cetera, et cetera. And it shows how serious Brendan is taking it. We don't expect anything less from him going into it, but it's like, right, you're out, you're in, because I'm going to play the strongest team that can help us win this game, regardless of what can happen on Saturday, regardless of us only needing 1 point. So I think it makes everyone else on their toes as well, because if you'd ask the players, they probably all expected Kyogo to start, probably expected the same team as the Rangers game. So, you know, I think there could be kind of two kind of reasons behind that change.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a curveball, because I would have expected Kyogo to play. Again, I get the argument of the physicality, and as Marvin says, Kilmarnock are very strong in set plays. But Kyogo, that kind of small, dynamic player, I think sometimes gives bigger players a harder time than someone up against you.
Just trying to match it.
Yeah, you kind of tend to enjoy that. It's a wee bit easier if you're up against someone of a similar stature, whereas someone like him playing on the shoulder, coming off you, that sharp movement can sometimes be more difficult to deal with.
Keep the calls coming then, Celtic fans. How confident are you? Is it still a nervy night ahead? What do you think? We'll give you the Kilmarnock team next as well.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
In just over 1 hour's time, we'll get underway at Rugby Park and we'll begin to find out if this is going to be the night that Celtic win the title. Of course, Rangers fans, it looked at one stage like maybe it would happen last night, 2-0 down at home to Dundee, but a much improved second half and a 5-2 win on the night. So how do you look back on that one? Before we look back, let's continue to look forward. Andrew is at Rugby Park, I would imagine. Has the Kilmarnock team by now?
No, I don't think so. I think Kilmarnock normally release their team about an hour before
kick-off.
So probably come back to me in 3 minutes.
3 minutes to go then. Let's bring in Mark, who's a Celtic fan. Mark, what's the optimism level looking like tonight?
Listen, good evening, guys. Anyway, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Marvin and Big Jim.
Hi, Mark.
Very optimistic. I think it'll be a hard game. Obviously, it's going to be a hard game. It's Kilmarnock. It's Derek McInnes. He's had a great season, and so have Kilmarnock. But we've got something to play for tonight, and we've got to play for the league tonight, and I can't see anything stopping us tonight. And I think, if you look at it, I think Celtic deserve the chance for the shift that they've put in over the past couple of months. And the team and Brendan Rodgers have got to take credit for the situation they've put us in now, you know. So I'm confident in a Celtic win tonight. I'm going to go for 3-1.
Like, you can peak at whatever time you like. It's over 38 games. Yeah. You can start bad and finish strong, start strong, finish. It doesn't really matter. But you do get that sense that Celtic have timed their run, and that, no coincidence, I suppose, that's when all the players are available as well. It does just have that feeling that they're finishing strong, doesn't it?
Yeah, finishing extremely strongly. And Mo made the point about kind of complacency. I think Mark touched on it there as well. And, you've got players like Callum McGregor who won't allow for that complacency. You know, it's fantastic having a leader out there on the pitch who constantly is demanding from people. But you're right, Gordon, it feels like they're heading in the right direction at the right time. And listen, they deserve it over the course of the season. I think the way that they've reacted to that bad spell they had as well, when everybody wrote them off, I think has brought this group closer together. So this, you know, tonight will be so, so important to them. Say, listen, remember when everyone was writing us off? Remember when everyone was doubting us? You know, we can then do this tonight, and then we move on to, you know, the cup final in a couple of weeks.
Because again, I've now looked up the League Cup game because I was trying to remember more about that. And again, I forgot that must have been the only time centre-back Lagar, Bielka and Navrotsky never played together. Apart from that, can't have been many that they started. They were together, and Anthony Ralston was to the right of them. Yeah. Odin Thiago Holm started in midfield, at Lila Bada, who of course left the club. So it's particularly, well, for every team, but when the biggest teams with the biggest budgets have got everybody available, it tends to be a different proposition. That's not to say you would take Kelly lightly tonight, far from it.
No, I understand. As Mark was saying there, you know, a lot of credit has to, I think, particularly to Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers was under enormous pressure. He was taking a lot of criticism. But he actually came out, and I liked the fact that he came out and said, we will, you know, be, you know, timing it right. And when they started getting results, it's the, you know, almost didn't quite say use the phrase the business end of the season, but basically he meant that, you know, his players will respond when the challenge, when the gauntlet's thrown down, when it matters. And they've absolutely done that over the last few months. And it's been something that Celtic have traditionally done over the last few years under Postecoglou, under Neil Lennon, under Brendan Rodgers. But, you know, the first time around is after Christmas, after the turn of the year, Celtic get the foot down the accelerator and get stronger and get better. And that's when titles are won. They've been you can be in there. I understand Rangers overtook them for that little spell, but or maybe a week or so. But Celtic's form has been, fantastic. But you're right, Gordon. It doesn't really matter how big a squad you've got. You need your key players to be available and sharp. Kyogo came back, sharper. Carter Vickers has been, Callum McGregor. These type of players are so important, even with the squad that you've got. You need those type of guys to be in your starting. That improvement, Hatate missed, whatever it missed, was it a third of the season, you know, or so. And then that improved, Matt O'Reilly getting back to form again. So your top players turned up when it matters, and I think they'll continue to do that tonight. So I don't see any way that Celtic, after the hard work they've done against Rangers at the weekend, will not capitalise on that at Rugby Park tonight.
Even if, Mark, it didn't go to plan tonight, Celtic would still be big favourites to win it, because they would only need a point from a home game against St Mirren. I would imagine, though, for the old ticker, you wouldn't want to let it run on to the weekend.
No, listen, Gordon, I'm 52 now. I'm an old man now. I've been through the mill. The Celtic's taken me through the mill a few times, and I know not to get complacent, but if Celtic do win this league tonight, Rangers haven't given them the league. Celtic have won the league. And that's it. There's been a wee bit slight narrative of that a little bit recently as well. But if not from all, just not from you guys, but in a, kind of, a sense from the media and Rangers fans in general just now, but if Celtic win this tonight, Celtic deserve to win it. They never get handed it. They've won it.
Yeah, cause like I say, I don't know what odds St Mirren would be to win at Celtic Park. It would be long, but you don't want anything like this to come to a one game sort of shootout, do you?
No, definitely not. They want to take
good
care
for us. Don't get me wrong. Oh. I could sit back and enjoy the weekend. But I mean, from the Celtic fans,
yeah, maybe another extended program.
I think so.
But Brendan will be saying exactly that. Just take care of business tonight. You know, don't worry about having. Pretend this is the last game. Pretend this is the game that you have to do. You can only do it tonight. Forget about, you know, wait until Saturday, etc. And the players will be exactly the same. They want to get it over the line. As he said, he wants to sprint over the line. You know, and by sprinting over the line,
it does help you, Marvin, be a bit more relaxed in the game today because you've got to get out of jail card in front of you anyway.
Do you think they think that way though, players?
No, I just think it's there in the back. You don't deliberately think about. Just mm-hmm. You just know. It's you know that there is another opportunity there. I think you're right. I think they'll go all guns blazing.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be any question of that. But just if your form doesn't quite right, if there's a few things that do go wrong, you do know at the back of your mind there's another opportunity.
Yeah. Let's go back to Rugby Park because we have Kelly team news.
Yeah, well, Celtic made their change at one end of the park. Kilmarnock have made their one change at the other. An interesting one because it's not enforced. Goalkeeper Will Dennis, who normally plays, drops to the bench. Kieran O'Hara comes in for just his second league start of the campaign. So it's him in goal tonight. The back four, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dee, Stuart Finlay, Corey Ndaba. The midfield four, Danny Armstrong, Liam Donnelly, David Watson and Matty Kennedy. It's Marley Watkins and Kyle Vassell, the front two. The substitutes, Dennis, Wright, McKenzie, Murray, Cameron, Stuart, Polworth, McKay, Stephen and Van Veen. The referee for this one at Rugby Park tonight is Don Robertson and the VAR is Greg Aitken.
A team that's had a brilliant mm-hmm. season. You've listened to those names, so many of them have contributed.
Yeah, so consistent. Yeah, I understand there's been a wee bit of a change defensively, you know, just with either suspension or injury. So, but generally speaking, yeah, that's a team that know how the manager wants them to play. Get enough experience, but they've got young likes of young Watson in there. He's got tremendous energy, won the Young Player of the Year, the PFA. The two boys up front, Watkins and Vassell, have been an outstanding partnership because they brought in Van Veen to maybe give them that wee bit extra quality or extra, you know, dynamic. And he's never really been needy because
didn't
these two
them.
Guys, yeah, mm-hmm. these two
it's
guys have turned up all the time. So yeah, that tells you
he didn't get put on. I think yeah. Ennis Cameron went on at the weekend ahead of him and stuff like that. Really,
but they've been so consistent, and that's the reason why they've finished the top four, and that's the reason why they've got European football. Yeah, they know their jobs.
They know each other work as well, yeah. don't they? That's the important thing. You get that consistency, and you, as Jim said there, you're not constantly changing the team or having to change the shape. It makes a massive, massive difference. You build up those relationships, and you know, like you said, that's why they're in fourth place.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep the calls coming. Thank you to Mark on 01419511025. Do you know why I loved Mark's call so much? He just reminded you of your place. You're Marvin, he's Big Jim.
Yeah, I think, okay. Well, why am I just Marvin? Can we get Mark back, actually?
Because, if you look at his arms,
because,
his arms
No. That's what I was going to say. For anyone,
well, you'll be Gordon, he said.
For anyone, I know my place. For anyone who does want to watch the live stream, Marvin can wear all the tight pink T-shirts that he likes. There's only one Big Jim in here. Yeah. Don't you forget it.
Well, put it this way. I would rather swap my physique for his physique any day of the week.
Oh, no, don't give him credit. I don't like it. Anyway, 01419511025. That is the number that you need, so please do get in touch. I think we could squeeze one more in before the travel. Celtic fans, if you want to get in touch and let us know your thoughts on that team tonight or the title hopes or what the nerves feel like. I mean, we're in here, we're going to be here till 10 o'clock, but just like we did with the Rangers game last night, I feel like you'd like to share your mood. Let us know what you're feeling if you do go down there with confidence. So far it feels like a measured confidence. So far, you can understand that.
Yeah, it will be measured until 7:30, that whistle goes, and then, you know, it'll be a party atmosphere, I'm sure. You know, and they'll be Celtic's 12th man should they need it today. As I said, that away end will be absolutely packed. The fans will be in brilliant spirits. It'll be a party atmosphere. The players, I think, will feed off that. And as I said, you then have the kind of cool heads on the pitch. You understand the job at hand. You know, they won't get carried away. They won't think, right, we've already won this game before the final whistle's blown. got some brilliant, brilliant leaders within that team. Callum McGregor, as I keep, you know, referring back to, playing against him, seeing him on Saturday, the way he was in the warm-up, the way he was in the game was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, there's no surprise that when he's playing, they tick. And, you know, you see him doing the same for Scotland, a top, top midfielder.
Let's bring in Andy, who's on the line. Similar theme to you, Andy. Is it wrapped up tonight? Is it hassle-free? Are you in for a stressful night? What do you think?
Gordon, I think we'll take care of business tonight. I've got more of a general overview, however, and I just hope the Celtic board take notice of how close it's been this year. Maybe entitled to win a title every season, obviously. But for me, it's just been a wee bit too close for comfort. Obviously, they could end up going to the last game. If Rangers were to put a point on Saturday, we might have been a wee bit sweating at the moment. But we should take care of business tonight. But my fear is that the conversations I keep hearing are, would you take Bernardo for £6 million? And people are suggesting that's a replacement for somebody like O'Reilly or Hatate. For me, it certainly isn't. I think the replacement, the guys on the bench should be coming for that calibre. At the moment, we don't have strength and depth. So I think was by stopping, not stopping Rangers winning the league, but by getting over the line tonight, that money is coming into the Champions League. I think we need to invest it properly for once. We've spoken about it for many times, but I think it's decisive now, and we could put a big gap between myself and Rangers for the next 4 or 5 years. We do that.
Well, listening to I don't think Brendan Rodgers is in any doubt. I don't think he's going to win tonight and think, there we are, that was vintage, that was easy, no improvements needed. He's making all the noises already, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Celtic, you know, Hugh Keevans in particular, Hugh's been very vocal and, you know, his opinion on Celtic's transfer policy over the last couple of windows.
It's not like him.
You know, but as Andy said, Celtic will have the money. The difficulty is always the case is attracting those players to Scottish football. Even being a club like Celtic, it's still very difficult to attract them to Scottish football. That's the reason why a Matt O'Reilly, for instance, comes to Celtic, enhances reputation and may well move on. That's always going to be the case in Scotland. But the level of squad depth has to be better. But it's a very difficult balancing job because they've got so many players. Mm-hmm. I mean, Celtic probably have about 30 players you could consider as being first team possibilities. Most of them are under contract. Yeah. You know, they've got healthy financial obligations to those players. So how do you move those players out?
Yeah,
you've got to really keep them on side. It's a very difficult man management job. So there is a lot of work to be done there, but it's not quite as simple as just getting 3 or 4 top players in to compete with the ones you've got. You know, so it's not easy. But Celtic, I think, have to have better competition depth in those areas. Not so much just numbers, but if Hatate was injured, there has to be a player of equal ability to go in and play rather than lesser ability.
I don't know if you heard the clip from Brendan Rodgers last night. I'm sure you were listening intently. What he said in his first spell, they went to Dubai in warm weather training and they played like a first 11 versus a reserve 11, and the reserves won 5-0. Wow. And he said the reserves used to have Stuart Armstrong. I say reserves, you know what I mean? It's Stuart Armstrong and Ryan Christie. And he was basically saying they don't have that anymore. Yeah. I take Jim's point because Thiago Holm and Yang and various others are very young and are on very long contracts, but it sounds like Brendan Rodgers knows fine well that steps are still to be taken.
Yeah, well, listen, even if, as Andy said there, it wasn't a vintage kind of league campaign, but even if it was, a club like Celtic would still be looking to evolve. It doesn't matter if they win it by 1 point, if they won it by 15 points, they'll still look to get better players in over the summer. But I agree with Jim, the difficulty comes when you have that amount of players within the dressing room. Now, we're speaking about squad depth and the quality that Celtic have behind the starting 11. I bet if you look at that bench today, outside of Rangers, you put those players, they would start in any other team in the top flight at this moment in time. So if you're talking about bringing in players...
But that's kind of always the case at Celtic,
yeah, I know, but that's what makes it hard as the years go by, because yes, they're going to be in the Champions League if they win this, for example, but players aren't going to come and say, right, I'll sit on the bench for those games. Yeah. They don't want to sit on the bench, you know, away at Hibs, away at Motherwell, for example. They want to be playing those games of football, so it's very, very difficult to have that strength.
It does allow you to rotate more, doesn't it? Because actually, you'll fight, you know, Brendan Rodgers said that again yesterday. He said, I remember going to Dingwall, making 8 changes, being comfortable with it. He's not comfortable making 8 changes at the moment.
I think also you've got to remember there's a simple thing like a dressing room dynamic. You know, dressing rooms, you know, are twice the size of this where we are just now, Gordon. But you still have to fit all those players in, and players know themselves when they're out of the picture. You know, they're not daft, and they think, well, there's no chance. your training programs, you know, your schedules, you know, your planning, your preparation. You can only train so many boys. You can't train and make 30 players feel that they're all important. Yep. It's impossible. It doesn't matter who you are. But Celtic have to clear at least a dozen players out. That is not going to be easy. And then bring players in. As I said, it is a very, very tricky balancing act.
Leave us with some thoughts on tonight then, Andy. Bring it back to the here and now.
I can, but can I just go back on Jim? Just one point there, Gordon. I agree, there's too many in the squad. Mm. However, if you're not got a long-term plan to reduce the numbers by maintaining the... Here's my very simple philosophy. Rather than signing six people at £2 million as a potential, as a project, sign two for £6 million. Bernardo, for example, bring him in as a squad player. Bring Ida in as a squad player. Two of them for £6 million each. Instead of going back... If you do that, and again, I don't know how we articulate this, but if we were putting investments in players for £2 million and selling them for 11, if you're buying somebody, but Bernardo, 22-year-old, at £6 million, you're almost guaranteed your return plus above the 11. So I'm just saying that there could be a 2 or 3 year plan that reduces the squad numbers, mm-hmm. but increases significantly in the squad talent. Anyway, my prediction tonight, 5-0 Celtic.
Oof.
I like the way you just put that in.
I said it was like a quiet confidence. I said it was a measured confidence earlier on. We've gone 5. Thank you to Andy. 01419511025. Rangers fans, let's look back on your game last night, because that could have been the title wrapped up. It wasn't. Only after a very ropey start, we're 2-0 down. Philippe Clement said he was really angry at half time. I wonder how you look back on it. Give us all your thoughts and the overall mood as well. Do you expect the title to be won tonight, or are you going to get some sort of last tease at the weekend? Do let us know. Before we go any further, and I'm not meaning this to sound patronising, you're going to want to listen to this. I've got a very good offer. I can almost guarantee it will interest the vast majority of you listening. You might have heard that next Saturday is the Scottish Cup final. It is a certain fixture between Glasgow's Big Two, Celtic going for potentially a League and Cup double, Rangers looking for that Cup double. You could be there, because we've got a VIP tickets for the Celtic and the Rangers end. They are both a pair of silver debenture tickets, basically some of the best seats in the house with lounge access in the main stand. And all you need to do is enter our raffle and all the money goes to Cash for Kids. So it is the ultimate win-win. You could have the biggest tickets of the year whilst helping disadvantaged children right here in our communities. If you want to win the Celtic tickets, text Celtic to 84901. That's Celtic to 84901. And if you want to win the Rangers tickets, you guessed it, text Rangers to 84901. Rangers to 84901. The text costs just a standard network rate message and then a voluntary £10 donation. Every penny of that goes to Cash for Kids. So for a tenner, you're doing your bit and you might end up at the game with some of the best seats in the house. Not to be missed. The lines close 8 p.m. Wednesday, the 22nd of May. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's at Clyde1.com. So that's text Rangers to 84901 or Celtic to 84901. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night we have in store. It will be a night of high tension, I'm sure, at Rugby Park to see if the title is won. A totally different type of tension to see St Johnstone and Ross County trying to avoid the relegation playoffs. There are different storylines if you look at likes of Hibs and their managerial situation, and a goodbye to a couple of legends there. Various other teams trying to finish the season on a high. So lots to get through. And of course, the Premiership card started last night. We could have had the title race over by now, and it looked about 2 minutes before half time as if that would be the case. Dundee 2-0 up, and then a goal from Ross McCausland just before the break really seemed to flip the momentum, and it was really one-way traffic in the second half. So Rangers fans, right now, if you can, how do you look back on it? At this stage in the season, can you take heart from the second half? Are you annoyed at the first half? Does it just prolong the title race until tonight, or might it keep it on till the weekend, or have you even higher hopes? How does it set you up for the cup final? All of the above and more. If you call us right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. It was quite something, wasn't it? Action packed.
Yeah, it was action packed, but not in the manner that the Rangers fans wanted. I mean, Dundee started very brightly, looked really confident. They probably understood there was a nervousness about Rangers. They could probably sense it. There was a lot of empty spaces around at Ibrox. So they probably, you know, the tension was around the stadium and indeed took advantage of that. Played well, scored a couple of good goals, had one or two other chances, and just Rangers just looked so flat and just so off the pace. And as you mentioned, young McCausland getting that goal just before half time gave them a lifeline and allowed the manager to reset, reboot, and you know, basically get a kick up a few backsides, and they came out the second half and shown that there was a little bit of extra quality there. I'm not one for all the resilience and the kind of desire and all that kind of stuff. I think when you're a club like Rangers, that should be a gimme. Yeah. You know, you should be determined to win these type of games and have the desire and have the ability to do that. But credit where credit's due, Rangers did turn it around the second half and capitalise in that. And a very tired, I have to say, a very tired looking Dundee at the end of the game, I think, Marvin.
Yeah, they did. They definitely tired as the game went on. You know, I think you mentioned a word there, desire, Jim. And as I said on Saturday and then watching the game yesterday, I think, you know, some of those Rangers players need to understand any professional football, you have to work hard first and foremost, because listen, you're not always going to have a good game on the ball, but you see off the ball, just work hard. That as fans, when I go and watch Arsenal or watch Hibs, I just want to see players working hard, because you're not always going to make every pass, every cross, every shot on target, but you can run around, you can tackle, you can put your body on the line, and you can be physically strong. And I think for far too many players for Rangers in that first half didn't do that. And then the first goal they concede, you know, for me, Yilmaz is fantastic going forward, but he has to do his job defensively there, because somebody can't come floating in at the back post and, you know, score that goal. So, listen, they bounced back 100%, but should they have been in that position? Not for me.
Here's what Philippe Clement had to say after the game.
With the ball, we start with the good intentions. A lot of positive things, but without ball, not in the first half. In our reaction after losing ball, in our being strong in the duels, in our contact in the 16 on crosses. So at the end, the first half, you come out of that with being behind, although you were better on the ball, but it's of no use. If without ball, you're not good enough. So I was really angry about that at halftime, because football, and they know, is the both sides. But I cannot make myself angry every halftime or before every game. That's impossible. It needs to come out of the team, and they need to understand that and take lessons out of this. This is the perfect example today. Boots off the pitch at halftime and a lot of applause after the game, because people enjoyed how they saw the team play, how they saw how we scored, how aggressive they were, how they win the duels, how they didn't concede in the second half. But it needs to come out of the players. If you want to play for a team like Rangers, that's the basics. That needs to be there every time. We need to build a squad like that, where everybody has this internal fire to do it every day, every game.
Well, let's ask Jeff, who's a Rangers fan, his thoughts on last night.
It's typical Rangers. They lose two stupid goals in the first half hour, and then McCausland scored another weird goal. They were all weird goals. I'm not sure if you're aware. I was listening to you on the radio last night. I was watching the game on the TV. I had the no sound on the TV.
That's the way to do it, Jeff. You sound like a man of great taste.
It was great. I was listening to Cowell's interview after the game. I think two words. He said, no comment. So what does that say to you? Did he mean the goal, or was it meant as a cross? Now, I see you've got Mr. Bartley there, who was at the game on Saturday. I want to know his opinion. Was it a sending off? Now, the reason why I'm asking that is...
What's sending off?
Lundstrom
at the weekend.
Lundstrom sending off, right? If we didn't have VAR, what would have happened?
Well, that's a good question. A couple of things then. Jeff makes some good points. It was a weird interview with Todd Cantwell, because he was asked, basically, did you mean it? And he just said, I don't want to talk about it. So I don't know. Did he mean it?
It was a cross.
Yeah. Listen, I think his interview, having seen it now, I think he seemed a frustrated figure. He seemed somebody who was frustrated that he didn't play against Celtic at the weekend or even come onto the pitch. I think he played that way because, for me, that's the best he's been off the ball. You can never doubt his quality on the ball. I've not heard Clement's post-match until just then, and he refers to it as well about doing both sides of it. And I think that is aimed at not just Cantwell, but a couple of players. But I think Todd Cantwell showed that he can do both sides of it, and you have to do that every game. Just to answer that, Gordon. So yeah, I don't think he wanted to do the interview just because he was frustrated. He wanted everyone to know that. But do you know how Todd Cantwell plays more games? By doing what he did yesterday.
Did he mean it?
No. I think it was a cross. For as much ability he does have, it is a cross. It is a cross, and it's found the back of the net. So, listen, it's one of those things. He gets lucky.
Yeah, people don't tend to shoot like that or from there, but you never know, I guess. The other question was, going back over old ground slightly, do you think it was a red card from John Lundstrom at the weekend? And without Vardo, I guess that is... But that's like a lot of these things, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was obviously sitting in the stand. I was working for Clyde at the game. And at first, because where the ball went, I thought he had won the ball. But when you look back, it is 100% a red card. And this is where VAR comes into its own, and they make the right decision in the end. Obviously, Willie's a lot closer and he thinks it's a booking. Maybe he thought he got some of the ball as well, because it happens so quickly. Because John Lundstrom does go across and he slides in so quickly. Looking back, it is 100% a red card.
Well, one of Willie Collum's last stands as a referee, because he's the new head of referee ops as of next season, replacing Crawford Allen. I'm sure you saw that news today. And incidentally, this is one of those things, right? I wish the English Premier League would think about us. You know that way? See, when they're going to release news, could they think about us? Because I've got visions of like a quiet midweek night where we've got nothing to speak about. I introduce this story and bang, we get a good 2-hour debate over it. But we're mobbed. We're snowed under. Did you know that the English Premier League clubs will vote on a proposal to scrap VAR from next season? Wolves are behind the resolution, and it will be on the agenda at their AGM at the start of June. They need 14 clubs to vote against it. Very, very interesting. So watch that with interest.
Can I just as a sideline question, is that the current Premier League clubs, or is that the ones that get promoted from the Championship this year? Will they be included in the 14?
That is a detail I don't quite know. But I'd imagine it would be the Premier League clubs going forward.
No, I think it's current.
No, is it?
Yeah. Oops. Throwing my pen at you.
I don't know. The reason I was asking, because
Nottingham Forest.
Current clubs that are in there, it means no difference to them. So they could literally just say, well, we're in the Championship anyway, so we didn't want it.
Anyway, right. Well, we can debate that another time. But for now, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to play 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Jim Duffy are here, 01419511025. We are 25 minutes away from kickoff at Rugby Park. Is this a title winning night for Celtic, or will it roll on to the weekend? Keep your calls coming. We just started touching on last night's game as well. So Rangers fans, how do you feel now? There was a lot of anger and frustration after the defeat at the weekend, understandably. Then had to play again last night and it started terribly. The reaction at halftime would have been quite something. Got a goal back, won the game. What does that all mean? Is it all about setting you up for the cup final? Are you feeling a bit more optimistic about things? Are you still a bit worried based on what you saw at the start of the game? Give us all your thoughts, please. And of course, we're going to start going round the other games as well, because it is a huge night in the Scottish Premiership. We are here until 10 o'clock tonight, and hopefully you stick with us. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit type. Oh, a bit of tension in the studio. Forget that Rugby Park, that small insignificant stuff. If Jim plays and wins, he goes level with you, Marvin Bartley.
Where am I?
Win percentage. And you, but yours is, you're precarious, because every win is quite a few percentage. Yeah. You go below Gordon DL if you lose.
What's my percentage, really, Gordon?
You are 66%. You're a two-thirds man.
Two-thirds. Okay.
So I'm not far off the big boys.
And you got, because you got grannied, didn't you? Got a zero.
That wasn't this season.
I think it was.
Was it?
And you got a 10.
Yeah, I got a 10. That was the season, Jim. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit like your managerial
game. Yeah, exactly. More roundabouts than swings.
Sometimes you get a good result, sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Ian, who's a Rangers fan. How's it going, Ian?
Hi, all good, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. See, Ian, don't do what your team did last night. You don't want to fall behind and then have to pull it back and beat the pundit. It's all about starting strong, yeah?
I hope so, aye.
Did you watch it last night?
I did, aye.
What did you make of it?
Our first half was absolutely terrible. Defending was shocking for the two goals, but then second half I thought we were a lot better and got Cantwell involved in the game a lot more and started controlling a bit of play, so I was better second half.
I was laughing, I think was it last night, a Rangers fan phoned in and said they actually wanted Celtic to win tonight or get the point just to put him out of his misery. Didn't want it to be like, you know, tease him by the weekend. What's the mindset at the moment, Ian, as a Rangers fan, where it's not arithmetically over?
Kilmarnock 3-0, please.
Yeah. So you're holding out some hope?
Aye, fingers crossed.
Why not? Well, let's listen. We'll talk more football once we play Beat the Pundit. If it's heads, it'll be Big Jim, as he was called earlier. If it's tails, it'll be wee tiny Mark.
Ian, who do you want, mate?
I was kind of hoping for Jim because I think he's got a worse record than you, Mark.
Yeah.
Don't know about that.
You're right, Ian.
Well, he's got his wish anyway. It's Big Jim. So
let's see. We'll give it a go.
He's backing down now. Wise move. Right, let's give Big Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear what's going on. Ian, Marvin, shh. You've got 30 seconds, Ian. Answer as many as you can. If you want to just pass and move through them, fine by me. Yep. Okay?
Perfect.
Right, your time starts now. Who scored a double for Rangers last night?
Scott Wright.
Who won Celtic's own Player of the Year award?
Matt O'Reilly.
Who was St Johnstone manager last time they played in the second tier?
Oh, pass.
Who got more Rangers goals, Michael Moles or Peter Lovenkrantz?
Peter Lovenkrantz.
What was the Partick Thistle Raith Rovers score last night?
2-1 Raith Rovers.
What major honour did John Collins win as Hibs manager?
Manager of the Year.
Name any English club Nico Kranjčar played for?
Tottenham.
Okay. Jim Duffy, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, you're back. The same set of questions, the same time, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored a double for Rangers last night?
Scott Wright.
Who won Celtic's own Player of the Year award?
Matt O'Reilly.
Who was St Johnstone manager last time they played in the second tier of Scottish football?
Second tier? Steve McLean.
Who scored more goals for Rangers, Michael Moles or Peter Lovenkrantz?
Moles.
What was the Partick Raith score last night?
2-1 Raith.
Which major honour did John Collins win as Hibs manager?
Manager of the Year.
Name any English club Nico Kranjčar played for?
Leicester.
And who was appointed new head of referees in Scotland today?
Roy Collum.
Ooh, interesting game that one. Ian, what do you think?
That's pretty tight, I would say.
Yeah, let's find out the damage you both
I
got.
I wasn't over the continent with someone, that's for sure.
Ian, I sometimes think, right, you're a Rangers fan, you watched the game, it was only last night, but is there not something about those questions that you just second guess yourself?
I totally
It's weird, isn't it? It took you a while to get Scott right, but I'm glad you did. You got up and running, you both got it. You both knew Matt O'Reilly won Celtic's Player of the Year. Neither of you knew that the last time St Johnstone won the second tier, 08-09, it was certain Derek McInnes who was the manager. Who scored more goals for Rangers, Moles or Lovenkrantz? It was Lovenkrantz. So Ian goes one in front. You both knew the 2-1 Raith. I've really enjoyed those playoffs, I have to say. Still one up to Ian. Interestingly, you both went for manager of the year for John Collins. It was the League Cup, remember? 2006-07. So still one up, Ian. I'll come back to this question because you got more questions in, Jim Duffy, and you got Willie Collum, head of referees, which pulls you level until a revisit. Let's find out a bit of suspense. Name any English club Nico Kranjčar played for. All comes down to this. You had the choice of Portsmouth, former club you were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
QPR, Tottenham, and that's it. And Ian got it. So he's won it. Ian and Bonnie Bridge. Well done, Ian. Sign ball in the post.
So sorry,
done,
buddy.
Knowing us, Ian, you should have it by Christmas, I would say.
2025.
We can do. So, Ian, what you said just before we played, though, you think, you know, why not keep it going to the weekend? You're kind of hanging on in there. That is that all we can do as a Rangers fan at the moment?
Ah, that's it, mate. No point in throwing the towel in just yet, but I'm not holding up any high hopes, to be fair, but let's hope that Kilmarnock can pull it out of the bag tonight and make it a wee bit interesting for the weekend.
Does even making it interesting or taking it a bit closer or getting some good results, can that help for the cup final, or is that just a separate thing?
I suppose
suppose it could, because it could dent Celtic's confidence if they lose a game or two. So, but I think, like any other, as the old saying goes, cup final, anybody can win it. So,
yeah, you know, it felt like last night at 2-0 down, this is capitulation, you know, because most people expect Celtic will win the league. But then it looked like Rangers were doing everything to get it over as quickly as possible. I wonder where Philippe Clement is, you know, this morning in the cold light of day. Where is his balance between how angry he was at the first half and how pleased he was at the response?
I think that if I was kind of a little bit expected the start for Rangers, in the sense of the stuffing was knocked out of him at the weekend. There was no doubt about that. The opportunity to close that gap on Celtic was taken away from him, because Celtic deserved to win, and obviously the whole furore as well over the lunchroom, Meg Card and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I wasn't that surprised that they started quite flat. But the response was good. And I think that's really, I think, that Clement will take out of that. But there's a lot of work to be done at Rangers. There's no question about that. If as we expect Celtic to win another title, Rangers have got a lot of work ahead of them to try and close the gap, because they haven't been good enough in the derby matches. I mean, Celtic have taken, was it 10 out of 12 points or whatever? Yeah. And so that isn't good enough. You know, and you can look at the Ross County game, the Dundee game, all these things. But if you're losing 10 points to your biggest challengers for a title, you're not going to win the league.
Yeah, and Ian, I take it, well, it was goodbye from Kemal Roof, wasn't it? He posted on his Instagram, I think, and, you know, it looked like Borna Barisic. Just not a great way, although it was a win last night, but not a great way for them to go out.
Yes, I've seen that last night. To be fair, that was kind of expected. I do think there'll be quite a few more to go with the back of that, but my worry is Celtic get Champions League money, Matt O'Reilly money if he goes, plus the money they've already got in the bank. So they're going to strengthen even more. It's where do we get the money to keep up?
Yeah, nothing's ever guaranteed, because Celtic will need to spend theirs wisely, Marvin. But I think I'll steal Andy Halliday's quote from Monday: Rangers recruitment is going to have to be perfect, really, or close to.
Yeah, and I agree with what Andy's saying. You know, it's going to have to be spot on. But, you know, listen, Clement would have looked at his squad through the good times they've had, and obviously they've had a little bit of a blip of recent, and he'll know where they have to improve. I don't think that would have changed over maybe the last 8 or 9 weeks. I think what he has seen is probably a problem with a mentality, because it's not down to ability that you can't beat Ross County, you don't take maximum points against Dundee. That's a mentality thing. So that's something that he's going to have to change. But yeah, their recruitment's going to have to be absolutely brilliant, because they don't have that Champions League money now, and, you know, they have to spend their money wisely. But I think there will be a lot of changes, but I don't think there'll be as many as some people are speaking about, you know, keeping 3 or 4 players. It's going to have to be more than that.
Not far away from kickoff at Rugby Park, there are other big games tonight, so let's hear from some of our reporters who are out and about. Fraser Wishart is at St Mirren, where it's just party time. Fraser.
It is absolutely party time in Paisley, and as you're saying, Gordon, but why not? St Mirren fans can celebrate qualification for European football, first time since 1987, although I think after 40 minutes last night at Ibrox, those fans would be a bit concerned. And with Dundee 2 up, it looked like St Mirren were going to have to win it tonight, but they don't make it easy for their fans, St Mirren, and I have to say they deserve every moment of it, the St Mirren supporters. They've played a huge part this year, Gordon, back to team in numbers, crowds regularly close to sellout. I was here on Saturday and there was hardly a seat to be had, so they've turned out in numbers to support the team, and they'll be here tonight with their party hats, beach balls, sombreros, etc. And St Mirren, top 6 2 years in a row, fantastic achievement. And this season, I think they haven't often, if at all, been out of the top 5, a real tribute to their consistency. So, playing against Hearts, of course, who we know, a terrific season, 3rd by a mile, 2 cup semi-finals in the European money next season. They're already learning how to spend that money to keep the gap between themselves and the rest this season. So, not the usual edgy night for St Mirren fans. They can relax and enjoy it, and hopefully both teams can relax. And this will be an open game and we'll get a few goals. I'm not sure Stephen Robinson would have picked this team if Dundee had won last night, but he's made 4 changes, regulars out. Strain, Fraser, Boyd, Munson, Alassania go out. In come Brown, Taylor, Backus and Scott. 3-4-3 formation. Zach Hemming in goals. James Bolton, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor at the back. Across the middle, Jason Brown, Mark O'Hara, Keanu Backus and Scott Tanzer. with James Scott and Colin McManaman either side of Mikael Mandron. The subs for St Mirren: Peter Rominski, Ryan Strain, Caelan Boyd-Munce, Charles Dunn, Toyosi Olasanya, Marcus Fraser, Lewis Jimison, Evan Mooney and Elvis Wimono. For Hearts, they've also rang the changes. Five players from the team that won on Saturday. Out go Kingsley, Beningame completely. Vargas, Mackay and Shankland dropped to the bench. In comes Civic, Kent, Denham, Fraser and Tagawa. 3-5-2 formation. Craig Gordon continues in goals. Stephen Naismith giving him every chance to be in the Scotland squad. The back three of Tony Civic, Frankie Kent and Kai Rose. Across the middle, Dexter, Len Bissaka, Aidan Denham, Cammy Devlin, Scott Fraser and Alec Coughlin, with Alan Forrest and Kiyosuke Tagawa as the strikers. Xander Clark, Lauren Shankland, Liam Boyce returns, Yutaro Oda, Nathaniel Atkinson, Barry Mackay, Macaulay Tate, James Wilson and Kenneth Vargas are the subs. The referee today is John Beaton, and in the VAR studio it's Grant Irvine.
I'm looking forward to it. Incidentally, if it is Craig Gordon, Steve Clark names his Scotland squad a week today, so make sure you join us. I mean, join us every night obviously, but next Wednesday will be an interesting one for sure. Well, it's party time at St Mirren, and Fraser speaks about both teams relaxing. It will be the absolute opposite at McDermott Park, St Johnstone against Ross County. Dave Galloway.
Yeah, there's so much on the line tonight for two misfiring teams as their Premiership survival fight goes to the wire, Gordon. St Johnstone going to this one on the back of four successive defeats. If that becomes five, then they'll have to face Raith Rovers or Partick Thistle in the relegation playoffs. Ross County's results have been a little bit better than their hosts of late, with two wins and two defeats, but it remains to be seen what the after effects will be for them in the wake of last weekend's 5-1 home hammering by Motherwell. So a Staggies win guarantees top flight safety, but they have lost their last seven games on the road, and should Saints prevail this evening, that would certainly set up a really nerve shredding Sunday. Looking at the teams then, and St Johnstone are unchanged, so Dimitar Mitov in goals, across the back Dre Wright, Ryan McGowan, Liam Gordon and David Kelchins. The sitting midfielders Dan Phillips and Cammy McPherson. Further forward, Graham Carey, Nicky Clark and Stevie May, with Adama Sidibe leading the line. For the Perth side, on the subs bench, Richards, Considine, Jasimi, Kushiriavi, Olufunwa, Matt Smith, Kimpioka, Franzak and Connor Smith. Couple of changes to tell you about for County. In come George Harmon and Jordan White. Out drop Josh Reid and Eamon Brophy. So Ross Laidlaw in goals. Three at the back: Will Nightingale, Jack Baldwin and Ryan Leake. Four midfielders: Miche Efeti, Connor Randall, Eli King and George Harmon, with Jan Danda playing off Simon Murray and Jordan White in attack. The subs for the Staggies tonight: Wickens, Brown, Callaghan, Sims, Latudi, Henderson, Keller, Brophy and Reid. Match referee tonight is Nick Walsh, and on VAR duties this evening, David Dickinson.
Huge game that one, as Dave Galloway says. If Ross County win, it will be St Johnstone in the relegation playoff facing the winner of Raith Partick Thistle.
I don't think it'll be a classic for Dave tonight. I think that'll be a very nervy occasion. The pitch at McDermott Park as well, I mean, although there's a bit of grass on it, it tends to be a bit bobbly, so I don't think it'll be a silky soccer fest. It'll just be who holds their nerve. I think Ross County have probably got more goals in their team, but they also leak a few more goals, and St Johnstone, as you would expect, quite resolute, quite difficult normally to beat, but don't have a lot of goals in their team. So yeah, I just think, you know, you wouldn't want to sit in the fence, but it looks a draw on paper to me, and it'll go down to the last game of the season.
It could go down to the wire, Marvin. It's tense, isn't it? We always, you know, we're talking about pressure of title race. This is, I mean, the unfortunate thing is, when you talk about this type of pressure, you're talking about budget cuts that see people at clubs lose their job and that sort of stuff. If you lose the playoff, of course, and they might still win it, but that's a proper pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, massive pressure, as you said. You know, players who aren't on a lot of money, you know, taking wage cuts, etc., because it really starts to impact your life. But no, listen, it's going to be, as Jim said there, it's going to be probably a tough watch. But I think St Johnstone will have enough. I think with them being at home, it's been a difficult place to go over the years. Obviously, not too difficult this season. I don't think Ross County travel that well. I think, you know, Don's done extremely well since going in. But I just think St Johnstone will have enough for this game.
Now, some games are meaningless, if that's the right phrase. I don't mean to be too disrespectful about them. Nothing can really change. Aberdeen and Livingston, we spoke about St Mirren Hearts, nothing really changing there. Same story in terms of the league table, Hibs Motherwell. However, Marvin, as a resident Hibs man, Nick Montgomery is no longer the Hibs manager. What did you make of that? Did it have to happen? Was it inevitable, or was there any surprise?
No, there wasn't really, especially after, you know, the game on Sunday, the 4-0 defeat to Aberdeen. You know, it's been a really difficult one for Nick, and he's always said it is a long-term project. But I think, you know, when the club are spending the money they are spending, for them to not only be in the bottom six, I think Hibs are now in ninth place in the league table, it's far too low for them. So I wasn't surprised at all, you know, that they've decided to part ways, and obviously wish Nick all the best, because, you know, he's a manager who's lost his job. But now it's a time where there has to be an alignment throughout that whole football club. You know, I came up and signed for them 9 or 10 years ago now, and slowly but surely over the years, you know, things of the club and the fans have started to become detached, and, you know, that can't continue to happen. They're spending an awful lot of money now. They're not getting the results that they deserve. So that's down to the players on the pitch. But as I said, the alignment needs to be there. And, you know, they need a new manager to now take them forward.
And then they've hired Malky Mackay. There's been a massive reaction to that news. It's goodbye to Lewis Stevenson and Paul Hanlon. 600th appearance tonight for Lewis Stevenson. 600th and final. What are those guys like in that dressing room? And
brilliant. Honestly, Gordon, absolutely brilliant to have him in the dressing room.
600 for one team. It's
exactly. An incredibly round number as well to end on.
It's an incredible amount of games to be available for, never mind playing. It's a fantastic achievement. They've been two magnificent you know, players for Hibernian, and Marvin knows them as boys as well.
No, exactly. As you said there, you know, they've been constants. You know, Louis Stevenson probably could have had another 30 games because he sat on a bench an awful lot. But yeah, fantastic professionals.
Let's leave it there, because kick off at Rugby Park on what could be a title winning night for Celtic is coming next.